This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:15 on your Black Friday. Thanks for joining us here on WWL. Tommy Tucker out. I'm in. And Jeff Palermo is with us from our Baton Rouge Bureau. You can read all of Jeff's writings about the LSU Tigers. He's our WWL.com LSU columnist. Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. It was great.
Good food, good friends. Everything was fine.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Great food, good friends.
Plenty of football, too. Some decent football and some really disappointing football. Man, I don't know how in the world the Chicago Bears can run 34 seconds off the clock on the last play of the game with a timeout and then lose the game with the clock running out and how the coach has not yet been fired. But we'll wait for that. That has nothing to do with why you're here this morning. I was just talking with Tim in Master Control, and it is kind of amazing. It's been 5 years since LSU was a real contender for a national title. 5 years ago was when Joe Burrow led the LSU Tigers to a national championship. Do you see any time in the near future LSU competing for a title? Obviously not this year. They're out of the
way. No, obviously not this year. And, you know, in this world of the transfer portal, it's so hard to even right now predict what the roster is going to look like next season. And obviously there's a couple of players that Brian Kelly has to try to recruit to make sure they stay on this roster. There's a couple guys that's got some decisions to make on whether to go to the draft or come back in another season. You know, I think Garrett Nussmeier comes back. I mean, can they convince Emory Jones to come back? Can they convince Harold Perkins to come back? I think those are big questions. And then what do they do in the transfer portal? I mean, the big news this week was that, Brian Kelly said they would be aggressive in the transfer portal. And what was really interesting about that answer, Dave, he brought up the transfer portal or the issue of the transfer portal came up last week, and Brian Kelly made it sound like, you know what, we're not going to be all that aggressive in it. Now, obviously, what happened with Bryce Underwood probably changed all that. So, and just the fact that, hey, you know, these days and this day and age of where you spend, you know, 2 years recruiting a kid, and in basically in 20 seconds, that recruitment or that commitment that you have all of a sudden goes away.
Because he gets offered $12 million in name,
exactly,
image and likeness from Michigan, and some superstar celebrity steps up and promises him he'll have a rich, wonderful career there instead of at LSU.
Yeah,
what a different landscape in college sports.
Yeah, what different landscape. And now, you know, with the transfer portal, you could just, it's almost, you know, in the old days, right, when you started a relationship with another person, you kind of courted them and this and that, and you tried to do everything you can to get them to like you. But the transfer portal is like speed dating now, and that seems to be a little bit more effective. And so we'll see. We'll see how the roster looks. But there's got to be a lot more talent that has to come into this roster, Dave. And a lot more elite talent. There's a lot of good players on this team. There's a lot of players that are above average players on this team. They're just lacking the elite players that you saw in that 2019. Yeah, and, a 2019 team.
Yeah, and a lot of people may forget Joe Burrow was a transfer portal product that came to LSU and propelled the Tigers with his elite talent to a national title. And the question is there someone else out there that now LSU, after changing the messaging and saying, oh, yeah, no, we're going to be really aggressive in the transfer portal, and even saying that they're under the cap, which obviously there is no cap in college football, but meaning Brian Kelly has millions of dollars at his disposal to woo with name, image, and likeness some great players to the Tigers. You're kind of hoping, you know, who is that elite superstar that's out there that maybe, just maybe, LSU can have on this football team next year?
Well, I think especially when you look at the quarterback position, Dave, I think Garrett Nussmeier is your guy next season. Now, that's not to say that they're not going to bring in another quarterback, because you always, every recruiting period, you want to bring in another quarterback. It's probably too late right now in the game to go get yourself a high school quarterback, because, as I mentioned, you know, when it comes to high school recruiting, you know, that's a process as far as getting kids to commit to you. That's a it's a 2-3 year process. And now with the national signing day next week, you don't have 2 to 3 years, obviously. So I think Nussmeier is the guy, and I think the storyline you're going to hear all going into next season is, hey, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow. It was the second year that those guys really came into their own and won Heisman trophies. Now, not to say that Garrett Nussmeier will do that, but he's going to be a veteran guy. He's going to be a guy that, obviously, I think when you look at the overall numbers after the end of this season, you're going to look at him and say, hey, that's really impressive. I mean, I think in the Vanderbilt game, I have to look it back up, but he, like, threw for 330 yards. And nowadays, with LSU fandom, you just kind of just, like, you shrug your shoulders at that. Remember the days when you were hoping that an LSU quarterback would throw for just 130 yards in a game? I mean, things have changed so much when it comes to that position because of what Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels has done. But Nussmeier has done some really good things.
Tiger fans, no doubt, were spoiled by the last two QBs. Yeah. And so when you just have a capable, above average, or pretty good quarterback, they do tend to pale in comparison. There's also the whole thing, though, about finishing out drives and finishing out games. Yeah. We'll continue the conversation with Jeff Palermo when we come back. We welcome your texts and calls at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'll take a look at Oklahoma and the Sooners coming to town for the final game of the regular season with LSU football on Saturday night in Death Valley. And we'll talk a little bit about the basketball teams, because now that football's winding down, how are the men's and women's basketball teams looking? And will they be competing for NCAA tournament berths this year? We'll find out from Jeff Palermo after this on WWL. It's Black Friday. 6:25, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker, along with Jeff Palermo, our WWL.com LSU columnist. Know Your Foe is already posted. Jeff's look at the Oklahoma Sooners coming to Death Valley for a 6 o'clock kickoff Saturday night right here on WWL. How do you see this game unfolding, Jeff?
Well, Oklahoma's obviously coming off the huge win last week against Alabama, but for the season, this is a team that's just really struggling on offense. It's really wild in a sense. I mean, Oklahoma for so many years, especially with Lincoln Riley as their head coach, was known as this team that can score a bunch of points, had these great quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield and Jalen Hurts and those kind of guys and Kyler Murray. But now they're just now they can't score. They can't score with Brent Venables, who's their head coach, who was the defensive coordinator for all those years at Clemson when they won a couple of national championships under Dabo Sweeney. They've just really struggled. They had a fire their offensive coordinator during the middle of the season. Seth Littrell was let go. They replaced him with JoJo Finley. They have a quarterback in Jackson Arnold who he's only thrown for 1,300 yards, and he only threw for 68 yards last week against Alabama. But he rushed 25 times for 131 yards against the Crimson Tide, and we all know what LSU's weakness is when it comes on defense, and that's stopping the running quarterback. So I would imagine you're going to see a lot of Jackson Arnold on the ground rushing the football. The other thing with this Oklahoma team, they've been just decimated with injuries at the wide receiver position. Their top five receivers are all hurt. And then defensively, I think their front seven looks certainly strong. Danny Stutzman has been their linebacker there for several years now. He's a Buckus Award finalist. He's got 100 tackles on the year. But they've had some issues at the cornerback position. So, obviously, it's not a good matchup when LSU faces a running quarterback. They did fairly well last week against Vanderbilt, only gave up a couple of big plays. We'll see if they are able to do that again on Saturday night. And let's see if LSU can once again get the passing game going with their group of receivers against Oklahoma's cornerbacks, who are certainly vulnerable.
Yeah, odds makers like the Tigers in this one. They're a 5.5 to 6 point favorite hosting Oklahoma City, Oklahoma Saturday night at 6 o'clock in Death Valley. So, yeah, it'd be nice to finish on a high note and then wait and see where LSU goes bowling. We know it won't be in the 12 game playoff, but nonetheless, hopefully they can finish on a high note and go into the postseason on a victory. In the meantime, LSU basketball, you know, it's kind of funny when you look at the men's basketball standings in the SEC, because LSU is like number 10, but they've only got one loss. They're 5-1 on the season. It's just that there are a whole bunch of undefeated teams still in the SEC. How is this men's basketball team shaping up, and do they have a legitimate shot at making the NCAA tournament this season?
Well, that's certainly the goal this year, is to get into the NCAA tournament. I mean, Matt McMahon has been pretty clear on that. You know, they went to the NIT last year in the second season as the head coach, but he really feels the next natural thing for this program as he tries to build it back up from the ground is get this team into the NCAA tournament. And so they suffered one loss, and that was to Pitt in a tournament over in West Virginia. And then it looked like they're going to have another loss last Sunday, but they came back from a 20-point deficit and won in three overtimes against UCF.
In that weird little gymnasium at the Greenbrier. That was so weird. It looked like an elementary school gym. But, yeah, that was impressive. They showed some fight in that game.
Yeah, this is a team, I'll say this, you know, one of the things that I think they've lacked the last couple of seasons is a guy that can score the basketball and score it at a pretty good clip. And it looks like they have that guy in Cam Carter. He's a kid from Donaldsonville who is actually playing at Kansas State, transferred to LSU this season. He's averaging 17 points a game. Jordan Sears has been a really nice addition as well to this team. He's averaging 15 points.
So
this certainly looks like the most talented team Matt McMahon has had. But this, as you mentioned, all the records right now, and obviously it's pretty early, it looks like the SEC is very, very deep.
All right, so if you had to put your money down now, and we only have a few seconds left, do you think the men make the NCAA tournament?
Oh, man, that's tough to say at this point.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. The women are undefeated. They're 8-0. You think they make the NCAA?
What's that?
The women, undefeated 8-0. You think they may get back to the NCAA tournament?
They get back into the NCAA. They'll be hosting the first couple of rounds. This is another good team that Kim Mulkey has put together. Big test on Thursday against Stanford.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Enjoy the rest of your Black Friday. We'll be talking to you here on WWL. It's time for news with Ian Ozan. 6:45 on your Black Friday. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Thanks for joining us here on WWL on this traditional kickoff to the holiday shopping season. We wanted to find out, though, is Black Friday all it's cracked up to be or used to be? It doesn't look like, from the video feeds I'm seeing from here locally and all across the country, people are out in the same massive numbers they used to be, camping out, lining up, storming the doors, and racing for those bargains. To help us find out what's going on with the holiday shopping season, Tom Arnold joins us, a professor at the Robbins School of Business at the University of Richmond. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Black Friday as we kick off the shopping season, although I think some people have already been doing a bunch of shopping, but that's okay. Is Black Friday what it used to be?
What I would say is that Black Friday has kind of evolved. It's sort of a season now. You know, you have free Black Friday sales with the internet, with computer sales. I mean, I know people were probably shopping last night, but just the same, folks still like lining up for, you know, the Friday after Thanksgiving and, you know, hitting the stores hard and seeing what kind of bargains they can get. It's just, they have more access now. if you wake up late, get on your computer and you can, you know, join in on the frenzy.
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing some of those multi-generational T-shirt-wearing, matching outfit groups out and about this morning, but it just doesn't seem like it's what it used to be. You know, I just saw a mother, a daughter, and a granddaughter in a video shot locally wearing T-shirts that said, "Out of my way, it's Black Friday." And I think that some people still enjoy the whole, you know, family gathering or getting together with friends and going shopping on Black Friday just for the sake of tradition. But the deals aren't as deep as they used to be, are they?
Not as good as they used to be. A couple of reasons for that. Amazon Prime, you know, they have their Prime days usually in mid-October, and that really kind of kicks off the Black Friday bargain season. So they've really stretched it out over the years. I think there are some things that you can find on Black Friday, but not like it used to be.
You know, I just doing my regular online shopping, whether it was Amazon or elsewhere, I noticed even last week or maybe even earlier than that, Black Friday deals already available. And I was like, oh, I mean, stuff that I was going to buy anyway. Suddenly I saw that there was a Black Friday special for it last week. So I was like, I'll gladly take advantage of that.
But, oh, absolutely.
But it wasn't intentional. So I unintentionally participated in the online extended Black Friday.
And that's exactly what the strategy is. Okay. Get you looking, and, you know, if I can put bait on the hook and reel in the fish, that's exactly what the retailers want. Years ago, they were trying to get folks out on Thanksgiving proper, but, you know, that had some backlash, and, you know, it just wasn't Black Friday to folks. And when the internet kind of really just started arriving, if you want to get the head start on Black Friday on Thanksgiving, you just open your computer and the stores, for the most part, are closed on Thanksgiving now.
Yeah,
so that's, part of the evolution.
It felt like there was some anti-greed backlash, that people were upset with retailers, one, for making their employees go to work on Thanksgiving when they were doing all these Thanksgiving Day specials. And even beyond that, some families complaining, hey, you're splitting our family apart because some people want to go shopping now on Thanksgiving instead of spend the day together on Thanksgiving.
There was definitely some backlash, but ultimately what I think the retailers found was the additional money they had to pay their employees relative to the sales they were bringing in, it, you know, just didn't equate. I'm not trying to, you know, cast aspersions that they're all about the bottom line.
Well, it kind of is why they're
all about the bottom line.
Yeah, it's kind of why they exist. I mean, they're there to make money. They are retailers because they want to make money. So it wasn't that they felt bad that their employees missed Thanksgiving dinner or that families were split apart by people who wanted to go get those doorbusters on Thanksgiving. It was that there really just wasn't the profits to justify continuing to do those staying open and having big sales on Thanksgiving.
Right, but if I can be closed on Thanksgiving and, you know, cast myself in a nice light of, you know, preserving the Thanksgiving holiday to get you to come in on Friday in bigger force, that's exactly what I'm going to do as a retailer.
Yeah.
And so that is kind of what they did.
Yeah, it helps the brand, and in the long run, then helps the bottom line. And we know it's all about the bottom line. We're talking with Professor Tom Arnold, an expert in retail and the holiday shopping season. When we come back, I'll ask him, what are we expecting this season in terms of overall sales? Will we be spending more or less than last year? And what about Cyber Monday? Are there still amazing deals to be had specifically this coming Monday online that weren't available in the pre-Black Friday and actual Black Friday session? If you have a question for our retail expert, Tom Arnold, text me, call me, 504-260-187, and we'll pass your questions along to the professor here on Black Friday 2024. 5:55 on your Black Friday. Some people are out there. They've been hitting the malls, hitting the stores, getting those doorbuster deals. Others are sitting at home, hitting the keyboard to try and find those deals. One person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line and says, why would anyone want to go out looking for anything if you can accomplish ordering and delivering arrangements to whatever you desire while you're sitting on the toilet? Well, that brings us from Black Friday to Cyber Monday. Tom Arnold, professor at the Robbins School of Business at the University of Richmond, is our retail expert joining us this morning. And Professor, we are expecting big sales throughout the season this year in terms of people spending money. How big will Cyber Monday be?
That's a hard one to say because it keeps getting bigger every year. The National Retail Federation is expecting overall somewhere around $906 million being spent over the holiday season, and usually about a third of that is Cyber Monday. But like I said, it gets bigger every year because from a retailer's point of view, okay, if I have everybody come into the store, it all matters how fast I can move them through the register. But with a computer interface, I could just move so much, you know, more customers faster.
Margins are huge online, exactly, compared to in-store.
So if you asked a retailer, what would they really prefer? They would really prefer Cyber Monday. Now, the issue with Cyber Monday is how do you expand the palette of all the items that are offered? Okay, yeah, gift cards are an easy one. Electronics tend to be easy one. Okay, but the reason to get off the toilet is if you have to see an item, you know, in front of you. Like I know a lot of people are still not ready to buy a car online, okay, or furniture, or if there's clothing in particular that you're looking for. I mean, some people will go and buy three sizes and then return the other two. But at that point, you kind of are weighing your own time. If I went to the store and got the right size from the get-go versus ordering, waiting, trying it on, and then going back to a store or whoever to go and return the item, you know, the time commitment sort of adds up that way.
Yeah, and so the return process, while most retailers do offer free returns of what you order online, it is a bit of a headache then if you either have to print out a label or print a piece of paper and tape it to the package, arrange for a pickup, or take it somewhere. Then you're kind of taking the whole ease out of the process.
Pretty much. If you know exactly what you want, hey, by all means, get it online, have it sent to you, and be happy. But if there's any sort of discretion as to, well, you know, maybe this way, that way, or this size, that size, and now an in-person retailer might be your best bet.
Overall, is the future cyber versus brick and mortar, or do we find kind of a happy medium? Do you think that we continue to see online grow and brick and mortar shrink to a point where we're going to see more and more closures of stores and increasing numbers of people just shopping on their phones?
I think the retailers are going to push really hard to get it more online, but I don't think you would ever wipe out brick and mortar 100%. I think we still might have some excess brick and mortar, but I don't think it'll wipe out 100%. And then the big question is, you know, the land of brick and mortar, you know, the mall space, what's going to happen to those places? What a lot of them have been doing is turning out to be destinations for restaurants with some shopping, as opposed to being 100% about shopping.
Yeah, we're seeing malls adding zoos inside the mall now and other attractions that the whole goal is no longer retail, but it's just get people in the doors to spend money on something. Oh, and by the way, you can do a little shopping while you're here.
Exactly.
Professor, thank you so much.
The mall is evolving.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Evolution never stops. Professor Tom Arnold, we appreciate your time on this Black Friday. We'll let you go and order something on your phone now. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Tom Arnold here on WWL. All right, coming up after the news, we're going to get some creative ideas for what to do with all those Thanksgiving leftovers. Chef Kev joins us from WWL-TV to give us some great leftover ideas for what to do with all that food that did not get eaten. That's up next here on WWL. Happy Black Friday.